Hi, I'm Kanika Malik. I am from India, currently working with an organization called Sangha, which is not for profit, committed to improving global mental health. And I'm a clinical psychologist by training, but largely working with youth health in last three, four years. I am part of one of the program which were funded by Wellcome Trust on active commissions, looking at commissions, looking at active ingredient. And I particularly focus on behavioral activation, particularly understanding, what is the impact of behavioral activation, what are its characteristics if they're used in a program, and what is its acceptability among young
So yes, warm welcome, Kanika, to the podcast. For people who don't know, can you start by just telling us what behavioral activation is and why you decided to focus on it as an active ingredient?
So I will try and be brief to explain behavioral activation. So it's one of those systematic techniques which try and increase your engagement into positive activities. These positive activities can be something you enjoyed previously or continue to enjoy currently, or it can be something which is valuable or meaningful to you, something that does add to your confidence or make you feel good about it. And it does it gradually and systematically, and has been used largely in depression. So where we see there's a lot of withdrawal and avoidance, it helps to break that avoidance and withdrawal gradually. And also now has been expanded to anxiety because avoidance again is a main feature where people do avoid certain objects or activities because of the anxiety and associated feature. So that's what behavioral activation is. It's the technique to break this chain of withdrawal and avoidance through engaging in more positive activities. Why did I choose to work on BA? I think it's multiple reason. One is this literature where I was very it's very fascinating how a simple technique like BA has been gradually expanding to cover not only depression but anxiety, substance abuse, even there are a few studies on psychosis. So that was quite fascinating to me. And there's entire unified protocols which are built around BA as a technique trying to address multiple disorders. So one, I think that's where my interest originated. And then our organization has been working on BA as a component for a long time. We had completed previously a trials with adult, which was based on BA intervention for depression. And now we are doing another trial with young people, the school going adolescents, which has multiple techniques with BA as one component. But there also we saw, young people with both with depression, anxiety like problems preferred BA over exposure. Maybe just it's less threatening, but we found actually there's a greater preference for BA. So with these factors, the literature, the our organization work, and what I observed personally in my experience of running a project with young people, it led me to work on choose BA as a possible active ingredient.
And we know from research in adults that behavioral activation is not inferior to CBT for depression. The COBRA trial that was published in 2016, I think it was. So is it the case that we, as is often the case in youth mental health, we just don't have such strong evidence? What did you find with your review? And did it kind of support your initial ideas about BA and how well it is likely to work in young people?
So it's quite a mixed findings. So I told you, we have been working on BA for a long. We have been now trying out with young people in India in one of the project. And there's this entire developmental conception that cognitive skills are slow to develop and behavioral skills are more faster, and adolescents always look for, young people always look for something concrete. So with that idea, I thought BA might be the thing, young people do enjoy using it and there will be a lot of proof to it. But the evidence was mixed. By mixed, I mean when I looked at the quantitative studies, there were very few studies for young people, adolescent and young adult. There was just three trials and few, case control studies. But when we looked at qualitative literature where there were young people voices captured, we saw that many young people in their natural, in their natural life, in how they habitually cope, you're something which is very similar to BA, you know, trying to find activity, scheduling it, taking step by step, you know, pushing themselves, putting reminders, taking support of others to carry on those activities. So there we found, you know, in a naturally, something like BA does work with young people. They found it very effective. It was one of the, it was one of the two top contenders in terms of the coping strategy which young people naturally would like to use. So which give us, confidence is something like this work, but what we need is possibly more research with young people, which is currently lacking overall in BA as well as I think overall in field of mental.
So I suppose there's a clear research priority here from this work in that we need to do quantitative research to find out whether behavioral activation is a safe and effective treatment for young people with depression and anxiety.
Right. So I think there's one clear priority, you know, is it a safe and acceptable treatment? And I think something very clearly, closely associated is whether if you look at COBRA trial and other trials of BA in adults, or, you know, few carried out with young people, like work of Chu and other, and the recent one in Japan, BA intervention tend to be very complicated. You know, each of them had around 7 to 8 intervention elements. And that seems a lot, right? For a young person to learn and to practice, and especially if you're working in a low resource setting, that's quite a bit. So at one point, you know, when BA is being coined that it's something simpler than CBT, but then we are still putting so many behavioral elements into it. So I think that's something is, you know, what is BA and what elements it should have? That's, I think, another question which we are generally grappling across, I think, the whole literature. So I think there's a lot to be found out in terms of, you know, what is BA, does it work, what should entail, what is necessary, what is, you know, something secondary.
Let's say that a big research funder came along after listening to this podcast and said, right, here's £3 million. You can do a randomized controlled trial. What would you do? What would the intervention be? What would you compare it with? What would the kind of, would it be a non-inferiority trial? You know, what sort of method do you think would work best to answer this first key question that we have?
Right. I really hope a funder hear this blog and, you know, really try and give in some funds to work it. I think both from research and what we found from young people that usually we need a lot of evidence from BA, even when we interacted with youth advisor. They said, yeah, it does sound good in principle. It does sound something, you know, nice. But we really need more, evidence. One, does BA work across two conditions? So depression, anxiety itself are, you know, multi-condition, especially anxiety has so many sub-conditions under it. So to what extent, you know, something like BA does work with these conditions? Does, you know, your existing level of symptoms have impact on it, or, you know, your readiness has impact on it, how one's social support does have impact on their circle? And I think the one biggest question which came from our youth advisor, and I think something, you know, does it has a long-term impact? Most of these psychological interventions do get some relief in short-term, but what happens to long-term? And something like BA, which looks very simple, does it sustain itself in long-term? So yes, I think it will be one for me, interesting thing to look at will be a lot of dismantling research that one, what are the components that make an effective BA? Do we need 9 components or do we need to have, you know, a simplified BA? So I will really look at some sort of this, you know, comparing itself, you know, what does the optimal BA look like? And secondly, you know, it would be interesting, you know, what are the factors that does support the short-term and long-term sustenance of the effect of something like a BA?
And what kind of workers in a health system or a broader system do you think can deliver this kind of intervention for people?
So based on my experience, again, I think Andreas has started with it, given Sangat has long experience of, you know, working community mental health, global mental health, and we largely work with non-specialists. So I don't see a reason why a non-specialist cannot deliver. And when we have, you know, one large trial and one ongoing trial, which are largely looking at, you know, what can enable, you know, young and frontline workers, a non-specialist to deliver. So I think they do form a great, you know, first level support that can deliver this intervention, especially in low resource economies where there are not too many mental health providers. India being one country where the ratio is really, really, really poor. We don't even have one psychiatrist, psychology maybe more than a lakh of population is being catered by one person. So that does believe, you know, a frontline worker. I would like to believe a frontline worker can deliver. And of course, you know, there can be always more complicated models and, you know, more nuances as more experts deliver. But having this simplified force would be really helpful to reach out to young people. And I would also like to say something like BA, you know, should not be just restricted to a therapy. It's something can be, you know, part of a community centers or, you know, some of local resources. BA is just being about activating yourself, finding gradually things, you know, you can engage with. So I will see as something, you know, which schools, which, you know, local community centers can support, generate activities, create spaces where, you know, young people can come together and gradually try and support and work through their own problem as well as support other people in this process.
So you've already mentioned that you were surprised by the lack of quantitative evidence that you found in your review. Was there anything else that surprised you?
I think the other thing that did surprise me, that's to say, you know, what is BA? I think this is an eternal question. If you look at every BA intervention, it's so different. There are multiple, you know, some has one element or other has, you know, another element. So, you know, when even if we do a sort of systematic review and meta-analysis, I was still not sure, am I talking about one intervention or is it different interventions altogether? And I think the other thing was surprising is that, you know, very less of young people voices are incorporated in any of these interventions. How do they feel, how, you know, whether it was an intervention development or evaluation, young people were given very less priority in designing material, designing, you know, interventions or, you know, planning the evaluations.
We often hear about manualized psychotherapies and the importance of therapies being manualized, particularly for research, so we can have lots of trials that are doing it the same way. Do you think there's an argument here for more manualization of behavioral activation?
I'm not sure. It might be good to have a manualization, I think, as a starting point, given a sense of exactly what we agree BA on. If you look at currently, the behavioral activation treatment will have something on activity scheduling and monitoring, then there's problem solving, then there's social skill training, then function analysis, and there's just so many stuff. At the end of the day, you know, even if we have few trials, I'm not sure, you know, what I'm calling B and what is actually working. What is the ingredient there? I need all these 6-7 ingredients, or maybe there was a smaller, you know, say just 3 ingredients. Will they have actually produced the same result? And, you know, that also criticism that does get into CBT. There's just so many elements. By the time you reach cognitive, did actually someone pick up cognitive, or, you know, they were already better and, you know, you're just stretching the intervention for sake of it. So it might be a good idea to have some manualization, some structure to it. And, you know, and then there's always a scope for flexibility. But I do feel, you know, initially this may help the process and, you know, may help to have a uniformity. At least we all know when I'm talking BA, what I am talking BA. I'm not talking, you know, someone is talking about a different intervention composition, another is talking about another different composition.
When I watched the video that you made for your review, it really struck me how you had involved young people in the project itself. That came through loud and clear. Just tell us a bit about how your youth advisors worked on the project with you.
Our largely our work with youth advisors were more of, you know, in terms of consultation. So once we did completed our review and were ready with the preliminary draft, we did, you know, talk through them what is BA, what we found in terms of, you know, what is systematic quantitative evidence indicate, what does qualitative evidence indicate. And then we had around 3 discussions with them, focusing on, you know, how they feel about these results, to what extent it resonates with their experiences, how it differs. where they do see most gap, and you know, what will be important research priorities from their end. And you know, I think in last workshop they were just involved with us in designing this video. You know, what should be the messages going in, what will the graphics look like, how gender neutral or you know, how gender reflective this entire video need to be, the animations need to be. So that was the degree of involvement. And to, you know, if I can just take a few more seconds to answer that, I was really, really surprised with the amount of understanding these young people had. At times, you know, we felt we are saying so much, it might just, you know, go over their head. But it took me by so much surprise, the amount of reflection they have, what they, you know, grasp, how much they're able to actually talk through the experience and how much sense they have. That was a great learning experience for me.
It's interesting when you speak to researchers who've been through this process, this active ingredients review process, and worked with youth advisors. I've spoken to quite a few now, and there's a range of different ways that young people have been involved. But what everyone has said is that the review and the method of the review enabled them as researchers to look at the evidence differently to how they would have done if they had just done a desk-based systematic review and they hadn't involved any young people in the process. What did you learn that was different that you couldn't have just learned from the published literature? What did the young people add to your review?
I think one message which came out very repeatedly during our, you know, consultations, we had three consultations, it was just time and again theme, was this entire feeling about how BA is being explained and, you know, what are the missing components. So the young people, you know, time and again caution us, you know, when we are talking about BA, it might give someone who's, you know, new to the field or outside the field the sense, you know, the problem is within the individual and they need to fix their behavior and get fine with it. And that's, you know, a very simplistic notion of mental health. It doesn't work like that. So they have, you know, encouraged us to look at, you know, how BA is framed, how it is talked through as something that take into these multiple nuances into account, especially, you know, when you are creating awareness about it or when you're doing a psychoeducation with a participant or a patient in a clinical setting. And secondly, I think the role of social support came out very, you know, strongly, which is not very easy to decipher from research, that, you know, how the entire, whether I can complete, successfully implement BA-like program has lots to do with my social environment. The support I have, the opportunity I get, the people around me, and, you know, all those various elements of the social environment is really important. And I think these two things were very difficult to get from the published studies. And these final nuances were very enriching to learn from young people.
So we've spoken a bit already about the future research priorities that come out of this work, but I'm also interested in the kind of clinical implications of this work. If there are people listening who are health professionals or junior health workers, people who work with young people affected by depression and anxiety, do you think your review has any implications for them?
I think we did say that, you know, there's a lot to figure out, because I think we started with it. We don't know whether BA works or not simply because we don't have enough research to it. So, you know, we will need more research to conclusively say what works, what doesn't work, particularly in BA. But if we listen to young people and look at, you know, the lot of qualitative research and what is a lot of coping research, it does look like, you know, BA can be something really useful as a component of the intervention. It can be a standalone, but it can be part of the intervention. It does help, you know, person to become active, does add, you know, add to their sense of confidence. But, you know, while implementing, you know, a number of factors do need to be taken into account, you know, who is this person, what is their level of readiness, what is their symptoms looking like, and how they are understanding it. So in nutshell, I do feel that something like BA have a place in depression, anxiety, but where it can be placed, I think something that requires more clinical research as well. Overall, I think, you know, one thing which none of the research does talk about it, you know, how BA can be also part of the community. It should not be just restricted to an intervention. it's a component which can be, you know, adapted to everyday life and, you know, to surrounding. But that's something I feel that overall the research keep missing. Can, you know, our community center support something like BA, or can a school support something like BA? And it should not be just an intervention, something like a universal promotion where everyone gets a chance. Periods are educated to do something activating, everyone gets involved, there's multiple avenues available. So I think that's something, maybe another place we do, we need to look at, you know, does BA can be a universal intervention and can do a lot more preventive work and can we deliver outside the therapy settings?